Thank you, Dr. Coleman, and thank you, Ruben, for this invitation. Thank you, Antonio. So I will speak about maintenance during a very long period of time, indefinite following a stem cell transplantation. So when we are treating a patient right now, frontline treatment, in a symptomatic young patients, the goal is to reach the best response, obviously, and to sustain the response. This is something that we are usually doing, in fact, for young patients eligible for stem cell transplantation. We are using a triplet induction regimen, then stem cell transplantation. Very often we are adding a short-term consolidation, and in many patients we are proposing a maintenance, and we do have some data with either lenalidomide or bortezomib. So if we want to reach sustained responses following stem cell transplantation, I think that we need a maintenance strategy systematically, if possible. So this is the definition of maintenance, and there is a consensus on this definition. Maintenance treatment is applied during a long period of time with the goal of preventing tumor progression. But when we are using maintenance, and that was clearly mentioned also by James before, there are several issues, important issues. Do we have an impact on progression-free survival, but most importantly, on overall survival? We are exposing our patients to drugs during a long period of time. So are we inducing some resistant disease? What about quality of life? What about toxicity? We always have to balance safety and efficacy, obviously. And if possible, we have to use drugs that are cost-effective. So we do have a number of trials with thalidomide. Thalidomide was the first agent tested following stem cell transplantation. And we do have 6 randomized trials with a very high number of patients. In all of them, the response rate is increased when we are using thalidomide versus no treatment. The progression-free survival is always, always increased across trials. And in only 2 out of 6, there is an overall survival benefit. A meta-analysis, in fact, 2 meta-analyses of thalidomide maintenance were proposed. And you can see on this one that there is an overall survival benefit with a p-value of less 0.01 and a hazard ratio of 0.84 with thalidomide maintenance. Interestingly, the UK group showed the impact of maintenance in high-risk cytogenetics. Thalidomide was proposed, and you can see that the progression-free survival when cytogenetics was either 414 or 17p, no difference in terms of PFS, but the overall survival of patients with high risk was inferior with thalidomide, suggesting that at the time of progression, the disease was more aggressive and it was not possible to salvage the patients. Of course, the toxicity with thal maintenance is quite important, with peripheral neuropathy mostly, the first cause of discontinuation, and in the last randomized study published by the Canadian group and James Stewart as the first author, there was also a negative impact on the quality of life. So to summarize thalidomide maintenance, in fact, yes, we are improving PFS. Overall survival is improved in a meta-analysis in 2 trials out of 6 randomized studies. Are we inducing resistance? Yes, probably according to the UK group. The toxicity is quite important. The quality of life is impaired, but this drug is cheap, so it is cost-effective. What about lenalidomide? And I will be very brief, in fact, because James did not mention this very, very important study that is currently submitted for publication and was reported at the last ASCO meeting and the last EHA meeting, a meta-analysis of overall survival of 3 very large studies based on individual patient data. The first study from IFM, patients were randomized to LEN or placebo following stem cell transplantation without any crossover. a very large number of patients, 600 patients enrolled in 2 years. The second study from the CILGB, published by Dr. McCarthy in the New England, 450 patients enrolled over a 4-year period of time, and crossover was allowed in the placebo arm of the study. And the last study from the GMEMA group, from Antonio, and in the stem cell transplantation arm, patients did receive either LEN or no treatment. So a very large number of patients, 1,200 patients analyzed, individual patient data. What are the data? The median follow-up is very, very long. So the data are reliable in terms of overall survival. You can see that the hazard ratio is 0.74 in favor of LEN maintenance. The median is not reached with LEN maintenance until progression, and the median overall survival was 86 months in the placebo arm. So there is a 26% reduction in the risk of death or progression, representing an estimated 2.5 years increase in median overall survival. So this meta-analysis is a very, very important one, and it will lead probably to the approval of LEN maintenance following stem cell transplantation until progression that is currently evaluated both in the US by FDA and in Europe by EMA. Are patients able to stay on treatment during a long period of time with LEN? In the CILGB, more than one-third of the patients were able to stay on maintenance more than 3 years, and one-fourth of the patients were able to stay on treatment more than 4 years. That's also the same in the IFM. We had to stop LEN maintenance following 3 years because of this SPM issue, but more than one-third of the patients were still receiving LEN maintenance. So yes, there is a risk of second primary malignancy, both hematologic or solid tumors, but you can see that the incidence is not very high, especially following 4 or 5 years. So to summarize LEN maintenance, do we have an impact on PFS? Yes, there is a PFS benefit. An OS? Yes, and I show you this meta-analysis. Are we inducing resistance? That we don't know. We don't have any specific trial looking at resistance or refractoriness following maintenance. The toxicity, the quality of life is manageable. Is it cost-effective? That's a question mark, but you know that LEN will become generic in 2024, both in Europe and in the US. So maybe we have to wait quite a long time before having a very cheap drug as well. So bortezomib was tested in the maintenance phase in this large randomized study from the Hovon and the German group. Either bortezomib maintenance up to 2 years or thalidomide up to 2 years. In fact, the feasibility is not good. You can see that only 47% of the patients were able to stay on bortezomib during 2 years. And there was also a significant toxicity with bortezomib use. You can see that the number of adverse events is very high, grade 3 or 4, 35% of the patients, especially the infection rate during maintenance is quite high. And we are also increasing the peripheral neuropathy rate. So LEN, to my opinion, is the optimal drug to be used in maintenance until progression. So do we have other ongoing trials that will be informative in the future? Yes, this one, the French one, early versus delayed stem cell transplantation with RVD as an induction regimen, we are using a 12-month maintenance. And we will be able to compare this study to the same study performed currently in the US on a very large number of patients, exactly the same design. But you can see that LEN maintenance is proposed until progression. And we will be able to compare the French and the US data regarding the duration of maintenance and the impact of maintenance on PFS and OS. This study, Tourmaline MM3, is very important as well. Patients are randomized to receive ixazomib, an oral proteasome inhibitor, versus placebo in patients responding to stem cell transplantation. ICSA or placebo are proposed until progression. A very large number of patients is currently enrolled. And you can see that that's a very, very simple use, one pill per week, every month, and with the administration of the drug orally on day 1, 8, and 15. Very simple maintenance possibility. This is a study that is ongoing in Italy, a KRD frontline, or Carfil, cyclophosphamide and dexamethasone, but just focus on the maintenance phase on the right-hand side. Patients are randomized to receive either lenalidomide, single agent until progression, or carfilzomib plus lenalidomide. Another study is currently running in France and in the Netherlands. We are enrolling patients into this VTD stem cell transplantation plus or minus daratumumab, a strategy, and patients are also randomized to receive dara versus no dara maintenance. This is the first study looking at the impact of this very important monoclonal antibody in the maintenance phase following stem cell transplantation. And our colleagues from Germany are looking at the impact of elotuzumab, and they are testing RVD-ELO frontline following stem cell transplantation, RVD plus or minus ELO during the consolidation phase, but also during the maintenance phase, Lendex or Lendex plus ELO. So a number of very important clinical trials to try to improve on progression-free survival and overall survival with novel agents. So my conclusions are the following. Maintenance post-stem cell transplantation is a valuable option. To my opinion, lenalidomide will be very soon approved in this setting and should be proposed, if possible, until progression because of this overall survival benefit based on this meta-analysis. Other oral agents are currently tested, and ixazomib may be an important one in the future. And I showed you some data on new trials focusing on the addition of monoclonal antibodies in this setting. And I thank you for your kind attention.